Welcome to the Financial Management Magazine podcast series, a service of the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants. This series features discussions with chartered global management accountants and other experts about the topics, trends and technologies that are transforming the accounting profession.
It was one fleeting moment on a trip to Cambodia, but it led to an epiphany for Nigel Franklin. I'm Neil Amato, a senior editor with FM Magazine, and you can hear that story and more of the reasons Franklin says we should live our best lives now. Here's this episode of the FM podcast, recorded in June at AICPA Engage in Las Vegas. Joined today by Nigel Franklin. Nigel works at Prudential. He's a CPA who holds the CGMA designation. Thank you so much, Nigel, for being with us today.
No, thank you, Neil. Pleasure to be here with you and get the opportunity to sit down and chat with you today.
There's a concept you went into in great depth at the Controllers event about 2 years ago. I believe it was Orlando, and it was called Me Inc.
Yep.
Me, comma, INC, period, if people aren't getting that. What does Me Inc. mean?
So, you know, that there's a lot of conversations about operating models. And the Me Inc. is me or you as an institution, as a corporation, as a company. And generally, the principle is how you would actually approach yourself as your most valuable commodity. That's basically it. And it kind of delves into you showing up as your best self every day. The general concept, but yeah, that's Me Inc.
Is the emphasis on self-care something that's different across cultures, geographically, organizationally? I mean, you've worked, for people who don't know, you've worked in Indonesia for a long period of time. You're now, I guess, in New Jersey.
Right.
Is it something that you see that's different across cultures?
So I think it's a little bit different, but let's put it this way. I think being overseas was probably what propelled that conversation of Me Inc. a little bit more for me, and it made it more valuable. So I guess in my time overseas, I'm on the back end of two international assignments. I was in Indonesia for a year and a half, and then I spent about 10 months, almost a year, in Malaysia doing business travel. So the ideas and the concepts that were put out into Me Inc. were kind of from my me search, if you will. It does mean something different cross-culturally. The way that I actually see Me Inc. is that if I'm showing up the same way every day, I'm showing up in the positive mental state, and I'm ready to do the work that I'm there to do, then that actually will translate through many cultures. It does mean something different. It translates into something totally different. In the U.S., health is a big issue, something that means something to each of us. In Indonesia, for example, it's not something that people would normally think about. So yeah, it means something totally different. But I think if you run right back to the Me Inc. concept, it's kind of a internal conversation in how you would actually show up wherever you're going in the world. So it's like you're in the driver's seat. You're the pilot for most of the conversation.
We're going to touch on fitness as it's something that's important to you. It's something, yep, something that I definitely like to focus on too. But this idea of investing in yourself, it goes beyond getting out, getting some exercise, going to the gym, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm not a gym rat, and everyone, I'm like a pretty big guy, and people don't believe that I don't like going to the gym. And but the concept, I think, if you think of your whole self, it is your body, it is your mind, and it's kind of your spirit, right? And the spirit is not the churchy spirit again. I always like to say that. It's just what makes you feel good about going out. So if I think about wellness, and I think about Me Inc., and I think about how are you making yourself the best you, I would say you're having to invest in your physical fitness. Your body is kind of your vehicle that carries you through this life. Your mental fitness, that's kind of your emotional ups and downs. That's how you maintain that. And then the spiritual part of it, the rejuvenation part of it, is just what makes you feel good from day to day. And again, I don't want it to ever sound too spooky or too, like, when I say spirit. So spirit could be like you like going home to have dinner with your family because that makes you feel good. So that feel good spirit, that feel good aspect of it is what I'm trying to get to.
Where would you say, you said you kind of came upon the me, you know, some of the forming of the Me Inc. while on international assignment, but are there people, are there mentors that that helped you kind of seize upon the importance of investing in yourself?
So I part of my career, I spent a large part of it at KPMG, right? And just a little bit about my background, an accountant just like everyone else. I did some public accounting, I did internal audit, and then in the last few years, I've been in that controller space of it. The time in public accounting, I think, you know, you're going so quickly that you lose focus on taking care of yourself. But somewhere along the way, I think we started not started, but my mentor, Ron Taylor, at the time at KPMG, he introduced me to the corporate athlete concept. So this is in 2006. It's funny that I still have the notes, right? I found the notebook a few months ago. I'm not a hoarder, but I've actually kept it. And so it started with the corporate athlete and didn't really resonate at that time. But maybe 5 years ago, I was actually having a conversation with my granddad, and his deal to me was, I always like to sit with people, to learn from people. So I'd always say, hey, you know what? What advice would you give your 35-year-old self? Most of the times, the guys I speak to, especially the senior guys, right? Because looking back, they would always give you the jewels or the things that they regretted. And what I started hearing a lot was, take care of yourself, do things that make you happy. But my granddad punctuated it in a way that he's like, if you can gain everything in the world and you lose your health, it's for nothing. And that's kind of what drove it home, the first part of the conversation. I was traveling somewhere on my birthday, and I realized there were people who waited too long. So true story, I was in Cambodia. We went to see Angkor Wat and then some of the temples in the surrounding areas. And there were people who waited until their late part of life who had retired and now wanted to seek these experiences. And it was just too hot. It was too hilly. It was just, and they were miserable. And at that point, I kind of started combining everything. I was like, you know what? You have to do your best to be and live your best, to be your best self and live your best life now. And again, that's the concept of Me Inc. So it's a long story, a long way of getting there, but it's a lot of different inputs, right? Because not one specific thing speaks to us. Sometimes it comes from many different angles, and then at some point it just kind of all culminates and it comes out into something good or some type of action.
Right, so that experience where you saw the people who were experiencing too much heat, too much elevation, it's kind of like, I guess some people say, I want to be able to chase my grandkids around, you know, if that's what you're thinking. So it's kind of that, you know, stay healthy that way. And you chased some big, audacious goal in fitness. And I guess it was shortly after your 40th birthday that you decided to do it. Is that right?
For my 40th birthday, my gift to myself was an Ironman. Like that was my gift to myself. But the concept is motivation, right? Motivation is fleeting.
Yeah. And let me just go back real quick and define what an Ironman is for people who don't know. To complete the triathlon distance, an Ironman triathlon is 2.4 miles of swimming, 112 miles of biking, and then a 26.2 mile marathon run.
Yep.
Right. So thank you. Pardon me for interrupting.
No. I should say, though, I've never wanted to run a marathon. I probably will never run another marathon. But yeah, a lot of this stuff is just new and interesting. So I was saying, going back to the motivational aspect, motivation is fleeting. So if you don't give yourself big enough goals, you'll never shoot, you know, you'll never really go for the things that you want to go for. So the Ironman was one of those things. I was turning 40 at the time, and I think I wanted to be in decent shape. So I was like, what would be a good goal? I was doing triathlons, and at the time, so I've gone as far as maybe a half Ironman. I was like, okay, that's going to be my birthday gift to myself. So, seems crazy, but the psychology behind it was, I'm going to pick something that's big enough that, you know, it's going to keep me focused, is going to keep me motivated, and it's going to be hard, but it's going to be worth it in the end of it. And I kid you not, I think that day was probably one of the more humbling days of my adult life. And not that it was hard, it was because I was prepared, but I went out, I prepared, I had a plan, and I executed against it. And it's actually amazing that you can get your body to go through that. Now, a lot of people beat me. It was also very, very humbling, but it was still an amazing experience overall.
And where did you do the race?
Lake Placid.
Lake Placid, New York.
Yeah, Lake Placid, New York. Beautiful place.
So on that fitness front, mm-hmm. Just thinking about kind of what helps you, I guess, get to that happier place. Maybe mm-hmm. it's exercising in the morning, getting it out of the way, and then your rest of your day is better. Is that how you approach it?
I used to... The way that I do it is that it makes sure that it's a priority for you, right? So I would say that I do it in the morning sometimes because that's my way of getting going. But if I have meetings, I would generally, if it's an early meeting, I can't do much. So I try to squeeze it in during the day, during lunch, sometimes in the evening. There are benefits to working out earlier in the day that I've found for me. I sleep better. I sleep better at night. I'm more focused during the day. But sometimes it just doesn't happen in that way. It comes as it comes. I just want to make sure that it's a priority and I actually get it done. So sometimes it's lunch, sometimes it's after work. Most times it's in the morning before going out.
I believe I heard you say on another podcast that when you were especially doing Ironman training, mm-hmm. you're maybe coming in later to work or anything, something like that, because, you know, it takes a while to train for a race that long. Mm-hmm. Is there any point during that training where you thought, am I being selfish?
So no, you know what it is? It's actually, I think about it in a very different way, right? So we talk to people about change. So we talk about engagement. We talk about motivation. We talk about flexibility. We talk about everything else. We talk about future of work. We talk about so many things, and I try to live it. And when I say that is like, I say to my teams, if you or the people I work with, I'm like, if you want to be motivated, especially for the people who work for you, you want motivation, show motivation, be motivated. If you want engagement, be engaged. So I don't think it's selfish because I never sacrifice the things that are important along the way. But again, it's something that is a priority for me that I actually would get it done. So I don't think it's selfish because it's the way I see it is it's that if I am happy, everything else works well, right? Through conflict management, just interacting with people, and that's what I like to put onto my staff, right? So I say the same thing to them. If you need to take care of your family, if you need to take care of anything else, anything that you need to do that makes you feel that your life is fulfilled and you're getting the work done, go for it. And however that shows up. So let's say I'm doing reporting now and we have a huge uptick in the quarter end. Yeah, you have to work then and you may sacrifice some of your family time. But on the downtime, if there's anything that you need to do with your family, if there's anything that you need to do with your kids, you don't have to ask for permission to go to do it, right? So I try to live that by saying, you know what, these are the things that are important to me and I adjust my schedule, my work, how I actually go through my day just based on my some of my priorities. So yeah, I'm not sure I've seen it as selfish though.
Are there books you've read or recommended that others read that further develop some of the points you're trying to make on this Me Inc. theme?
When I started the concept, or I put the concept to paper, I was different at the time. So the books I would have read at the time were probably very, very different. One of the things I also learned is that there's a huge aspect of whatever we do is that that's about living, and not a lot of people would have the time to read. I haven't approached it. And one of the things we talked about is like, I try to read about 10 minutes, 10 pages on waking up every morning. So that gives you the opportunity to read about a 200 page book a month. And I would say not everyone has that, or not everyone will use that approach. But the last thing that I've read that talks about the importance of just an overall proper mental state is a book called Resilience by Eric Grittens. And I think that's the one that I think is most well-rounded. And it's one that I would highly recommend. One level down from that, there is a book called Search Inside Yourself at the Time, which is the foundation of the mindfulness program at Google. And it actually went down a lot of the things that they would have done. So it actually encapsulate their program and they put it out into the world. So that's where I was. And that's what started a lot of my me search, if you will.
You kind of created a reading list for the people on your team.
Yeah.
I know that those might not be Me Inc. things, but that is a personal development topic, I think, to have people to read. Do you want to share any of the books?
Yeah, more than happy. But I also like to share the psychology, right? So the thing about, and that's what I'm speaking here at the conference about finance redefined. And yesterday we were talking about, I think Simon Sinek spoke about kind of the new skills that you'd have. And there's a book out there, or it's called the Fourth Industrial Revolution. And the concept in there is that what's actually happening from a technology standpoint will not change what we do, but it will change us. So there is a required reading list for my team, but it's like a toll gate because a lot of people would refuse to read, right? Or refuse to take the time to invest in themselves. So it starts with Who Moved My Cheese? That's the first one. And that's just if you take the time to read those 70 pages, then you could move on to the next one. And it's Kiss Your Butt Goodbye, which is like, you know, Nigel is great, but. And that's one. That's another one. And then there's a book in it's called and it's interchangeably. It's called Triggers by Michael Goldsmith. No, it's not Michael Goldsmith, but I'm probably botching the name of the author. Marshall Goldsmith, right? And then there's the Five Levels of Leadership, and then I would end on the Resilience book because that's about kind of philosophy and just kind of how the mind dictates a lot of the things that we would actually do and see.
And is the Resilience book, is that the one that ties in some of the Navy SEAL stuff?
That's the one that ties. So he's a former Navy SEAL who was corresponding with one of his former teammates. And it is an awesome, awesome book because it says on the surface that what we see is not always what we believe. So you think that the Navy SEAL who would make it through will be always the strongest guy, most physically fit guy, and that's not what the statistics will show. It shows that it's the guys who are mentally strong.
I think it illustrates your point pretty well because, you know, yes, we've talked about some physical fitness things, but it's really about the well-rounded. You know, you're mentally strong and physically strong and emotionally intelligent. So that was very interesting to me. Now we're going to go away from something that's counterintuitive probably to exercise or learning a new skill, a way in which people can invest in themselves.
Lunch. All right. And I've gotten a bunch of my colleagues gave me a hard time about this because Don Withmore, a time management expert, came in to talk to my team about it. So there's a lot of these things that we'll talk about, but it's not just applied to me, it applied to my team. And lunch is viewed as, you know, your vacation in the middle of the day. Think about it as time to take a break from whatever you're doing, because anything that you're doing that's taking up your mental capacity, it actually drains you, right? So how do you reboot? And sometimes that can be lunch. Your lunch break can be time just to meet and chat with somebody else, just to have lunch by yourself. It can be used to work out, because one of the things that I actually see, the one of the ways that I actually see it is that, like, if I can, most of the people or most of the guys on my team, if you can actually get all the things that you need to do in during your day before going home to attach to your family, it ends up with you being a lot more engaged. So I highly recommend my team, make sure you have lunch, make sure you go to the gym, anything that you need to do to feel that you are connecting and living your best life. So yeah, lunch is vacation in the middle of the day. I know some of my colleagues gave me a hard time about it, but I believe that it's necessary to kind of reboot your mind as you go through the day. Also, just it's you know, if you think about the food that you eat, that's kind of like your fuel, right? That's kind of what actually keeps you going. So it's something that's actually very, very important just as you manage your energy system throughout the day.
Yeah, we ran an article in FM Magazine about 2 summers ago mm-hmm. about the whole escaping your desk topic and why it's important. And it's, I mean, it's good for you according to research just to get a different spot that has some natural mm-hmm. light, even if you're not eating that much or doing anything, even right. if you're just sitting and staring at the sunlight, you know, yeah. like this pool area here at the MGM Grand, we can see the palm trees. It's kind right. of nice.
Yep. It is. But you know what? It's not something that a lot of us will actually value because we get so busy. I always say we let the busyness of life get in the way of the business of life. So you have to, you kind of have to stop and take those times to kind of reboot, make sure that you're appreciating the little things, thinking. I think, again, I'm going to chat about that later on. How do you take the time, stop to think, and then connect your thought to actions to be more impactful overall, right? So, yeah, absolutely, totally agree.
Are there simple ways that people who might have been neglecting themselves can get started?
You know, it's one of the things that you struggle with, right? Because at some point in your life, that something will happen that will make it matter to you. And I just have a friend, we're about the same age, and physical fitness didn't matter to her, or any of the stuff didn't matter to her because it just wasn't high on her priority list. But now it just became high because she is now diabetic. She has some other health issues. And all of a sudden, it's actually time to do something. So before, she never did anything. And if you want to start out, start from wherever you are, and that might be just going for a walk. One of the things that I would say is that there are so many companies, large companies, who have gyms in the building. If you don't want to think about the workout, just attend a class, and don't do anything. You don't have to sign up for anything big. Just something that will move you 1 millimeter away from where you are now, right? So, and the concept of 1 millimeter or those small changes is like, think about the small change today that you can consistently make and what that will mean, you know, a year down the road, or, you know, a week down the road, a month down the road, a year down the road. But the wellness portion of it, and if I think a lot of us, because we sit all day, I think weight management is a large part of it. 80% of kind of the weight management conversation is diet. So I would say if you can find something where you're moving a little bit more and just start paying a little bit closer attention to the things that you would actually eat, I think that's a good place to start. And what happens, it snowballs, right? So if you do something small and it feels good, it'll help you to actually commit to it. I'd caution to like taking these big leaps. So I should say I did an Ironman after trying around or playing around in the triathlon space for 8 years. Oh no, not 8 years, maybe 6 years. So I didn't just wake up one day and said, I want to do an Ironman. It was just, I was already on that path and then I made the goal lofty enough. But don't go for big things. Like, just start with the little things that you can actually do. I was actually telling my friends, even if you live in the city, get off the stop before your stop and just walk home one day. Do something else, just a little bit different than you're doing today.
Great way to close this and say thank you, Nigel. This has been a great conversation.
I know the topic is different because we don't spend a lot of time talking about how we can be our best selves. But I'm happy to have had the chance to chat with you. I appreciate the opportunity again. Thank you for the opportunity. And as always, any way that I can be of help to you, you kind of know where to reach me and find me. So
thank you so much.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates. It is provided with the understanding that the association, its affiliates, and subsidiaries are not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, or other professional services. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The association, its subsidiaries, and affiliates make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to and assume no responsibility for the content or application of the material contained herein, and expressly disclaim all liability for such damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.